University Tower Chimes ring another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed sessions of question and answers. I'm adding S to the end of every word. I'm yours host, Matt Smiles. And let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the College for Creative Studies in downtown Detroit, Michigan, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
As always.
Dave's Chows?
Yes.
Yes, Dave did bring chow today. Dave's it chows. Is pork buns. They are delicious.
And you're eyeing...
Look at this right. temptation.
No one, no one can tell that it's Friday on the radio.
No, not at all. Except for the asteroid that almost buzzed us.
That's right. Yeah. It did buzz us today, right? Absolutely. What did you hear about the asteroid, Professor Jim Tubbs?
Oh, I watched it on TV last night.
The asteroid.
Well, they showed a diagram, or actually they showed a picture that some telescope had taken, and they kept like mechanically wiggling the picture back and forth to make it look like it was moving.
Well, but it landed in the Urals, right? You can see the picture.
Oh, that was a meteorite. This is an asteroid that missed us by 14,000 miles.
Space rocks.
Whatever. It was semi.
You know, Beth, space does rock.
Yep. Space, it doesn't matter what you call
it. And hello, by the way.
Yeah, and good to see you too, Jim. Professor Kendra Evans is from chemistry and biochemistry and is busily doing research on the meteorite right now.
What's going on? I'm contacting research students.
Oh, I see. All right. So we're not able to shake the students. I understand. It is a Friday afternoon, but they're still around doing stuff.
That is right.
How are you doing, Kendra?
I feel a little hectic, a little overwhelmed, pretty stressed.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why.
Kick back, relax. Uh-huh. Take a bite of a pork bun.
Yeah.
Where's
just
the
have
hip
a
flask?
Pork bun
Where's
and relax.
The hip flask?
Oh, my gosh.
It's Lent.
Oh.
Laughing as he is often wont to do, Professor Dan Maggio is on the other
wearing
side of the table.
Wearing his curling club shirt.
I know. I think I wore this last week.
It's cool. It's a cool shirt. Yeah, it's
you did wash it, right?
I did wash it.
Oh, okay.
It.
And it just walked up upon him and draped it.
There was a Russian politician who said that it wasn't really a meteor attack, it was actually the U.S.
pelting.
We need to attack them with missiles anymore.
We laughed, we cried, we kissed a few decades goodbye. There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then I had a student who fought me on that one about we won, they lost.
Really?
Huh. Why do you think they lost? I'm like, well, because the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore, and most of Central and Eastern Europe isn't communist anymore.
This is...
I'm
just using some simple metrics.
not sabermetrics, simple metrics.
Simple metrics. What metrics are in your life, Professor Chuck Pocket?
I don't know, Matt. What one are you?
With the pork buns.
Tell me, Matt.
The talking pork bun.
The pork buns box is talking.
Pork buns is talking.
Also,
Matt.
The toaster has been laughing at me.
They said that asteroid was about going the size of a semi.
Yep.
Yes.
And going how fast? 60,000 miles?
30,000.
Can you imagine that? Semi truck.
Imagine the sonic boom. I mean, that's like four times the speed of sound.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Big deal.
That's a big deal. I'm glad it missed us so we didn't have to go into another Bruce Willis movie again or whatever, you know, explode the asteroid.
But I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm doing good, thank you. I'm doing good. Trying to have my mat routine on.
Oh, yeah, you know. Professor Jason Roach, how are you doing today?
I was doing great until you stole my Bruce Willis line. I was going to use that to say, the asteroid hits, and I'm going to see Bruce Willis tonight. So now I got to scramble to come up with something new to introduce myself.
Coming out tonight.
So you're going to see Die Hard?
The new Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yes. Tonight or last week. I just haven't seen it.
Can you say Die Hard?
Got it. It may have happened
Die
last
Hard
week at a show.
So it combines all those things that we were talking about.
It's true. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about it.
I come up with something new and hithy.
The frozen wastelands of Die Hard.
You'd start with Yippee-Ki-Yay, but you probably have to stop there. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we just move on to
Path? You'd have to leave out the best part of the line.
Adam had his finger on the button, I can tell right now. Like he's just waiting to dump us.
Professor Beth Oljar, you've seen the Die Hard movies. Have you enjoyed them? There's a lot of explosions, you know.
Lots of explosions.
The first one is still the best because you have to have a good bad guy, and Alan Rickman is awesome. I haven't seen the latest one yet, but
I kind of enjoyed the one with Samuel L. Jackson too. I thought that was number three.
Yeah, that was
enjoyable to me.
The water in the park and the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good puzzle. Great math puzzle, right?
I'll tell you. Computer Hackers was decent too.
That was Live Free and Die Hard.
Timothy Oliphant. Is that the fifth one or
that's the fourth one, I think.
I'll tell you what, guys.
I saw a marathon.
This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. A Bruce Willis set, a Die Hard set. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or facebook.com/udmatp. You can fax the profs to 313-993-1166 or you can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. You know, we never finished up, and this is my bad, a set of questions from our American expatriate in Paris, Mark Neymark. He had sent us a wonderful set. We had only gotten to number 7 about numismatry. Coins. Oh, we were talking about coins.
These are really hard.
Shekels.
And they were with easier questions.
Yeah, these were tough, but they were very informative.
Yeah, he's only asking professors.
I got to say, Mark, your hallmark, no pun intended, is Mark Neymark's hallmark. Fantastic. is giving a lot of follow-up information, which is always good fodder for us to make fun of. So that's nice. That's very, very nice. In what year was the Michigan State Quarter minted?
2004.
2004 is correct.
Hey.
Spot on.
I took a guess, and it worked.
Yes. You were a New Yorker then.
Don't have to say it was a guess.
Holy cow.
You knew. It was confidence. What is shown on the reverse of that coin?
The UP?
Not the UP.
Car?
Nope. Nobody remembers. It was just a few years ago.
Robin?
Renton?
Do you remember the controversy surrounding? There were multiple different ideas, and then the bottom line was they went with the lamest, blandest. It was voted the worst state quarter out of all 50 because it showed what?
A rolling hill?
The mitten?
No, it wasn't the bridge.
Rolling
was it?
Hills.
No,
Michigan,
it was a picture of the state of Michigan with nothing else.
Yeah.
That's it. The lower and the upper peninsula with nothing else. Yep. It also said Great Lakes State.
Yeah.
Which pretty much
like
everybody
the
else
license plates
assumed,
did.
You know, but that's it. Everybody, I mean, I remember Georgia had, didn't they have a beautiful peach blossom or something? You know,
an actual peach.
Everybody had cool stuff.
New York had the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
Though that
yep.
was controversial, too. Yep. They wanted to go with West Point until there was an outcry.
That's right. Nice. Well, I remember it was North Carolina versus Ohio for who got to put the Wright brothers
right.
on.
Actually, the one I felt bad for is New Hampshire.
What?
Yeah, because was it the Old Man of the Mountain?
Old Man of the Mountain, and then it fell apart.
Yeah,
that's right.
So.
That's right.
Oregon probably had a beaver.
Remember what Oregon had.
Okay, although they use the euro, profs, which euro coins are not used in Finland and the Netherlands for a very specific reason? I can even give you the answer to the question if you can sort of divine why that might be so.
Metal views? Nope. Does it have to do with the weight of the coin in their vending machines?
It does not.
The size of the coin?
No. So for the record, the answer is the 1 and 2 cent euros.
They round theirs to the nearest nickel.
Everything goes to the nickel in the Netherlands and Finland. It's a pretty interesting way of living.
Canada
just did. Just did.
Yep, Canada just did.
The Dutch and the Finns.
Yep.
I had to leave change at the
It'll be the end of the 99 price, which annoys me.
But the dollar stores are going to be gone now.
Come on, Dan. You can get some mattresses. I bet Art Van's having a sale this
weekend. Oh, they are. I got the flyer in today's paper. Lots of 99. $8.99, $3.99, $2.99, $5.99.
I care about is Barbara Feldon's.
That's true. I knew you were going to bring that up, too, because you'd never miss a chance to. €1 and €2 coins have silver-colored centers and a gold-colored outer ring. Copper is used in both the silver and the gold. Which do you think has more copper, the fake silver or the fake gold?
I'm going to say the fake silver just because that wouldn't be my first thought. So
that would be perverse.
Yes.
we'll go with it.
The only response that would be more perverted is they both have exactly 75% copper. The silver also
and
has 25% nickel.
Uh-huh.
And the gold has 20% zinc, so that we get the extra color. So
and
there
snails
you go.
And puppy dog Serving tails, too.
How much zinc is in a centrum?
All I know is that it's complete from A to Z. True or false? All euro coins are exactly the same in every country in the European Union.
No.
False.
That's true. I mean, correct. It's false.
You're right in saying that it was
one.
False.
Yes.
They mint their own.
Although the coins circulate freely throughout the eurozone, I love that, Mark. That's nice. And the reverse is common. The obverse of each coin is proper to the country that mints the coin. So not every country can mint either. But,
also, the bills have different people on.
So when they transfer, do they ever get transferred back to the original country?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just by tourists.
Sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. There are three countries that are not members of the eurozone, but they mint euros. Can you name one of them?
Britain.
France.
Germany.
I haven't heard one yet.
No. Liechtenstein.
Canada.
Nope.
The U.S.
Three countries not members of the European Union, but they mint euros.
U.S.
Spain.
Russia.
It wasn't Canada.
The U.S. Yes, I'm sorry. That's such a great answer.
You could mint the coin and just ship it over.
No, you're right. I'll try to lean you because what we got are they wanted one of three, and there's a fourth one that's actually joining in 2013. The first is Monaco.
Okay? Sure.
See if you can help me out. There are two countries within the borders of the Republic of Italy.
Vatican
is one of them, and the other is
Andorra.
Andorra is the one that will join in 2013, and San Marino is the name of the country in
Italy. Oh, yeah. They're famous for their stamps.
Yep. What do Canadians call a $1 coin?
A loony.
A loony. Yes. With a Y or an IE?
IE.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they have here. He's got
And a toonie is the $2.
Yep. And what is the $2 coin? Oh, there we go.
Boom, bada bang.
There's a man toonie. With loonies in his pocket.
No,
right.
I got quarters and a loonie.
Oh, okay.
Take off, eh?
No toonies today.
Hey, have some coins, eh?
We're about to cheat here, but that's okay because we came prepared. What appears on the reverse of a toonie?
Oh.
A beaver.
A loonie.
Nope.
On this?
The reverse of a toonie has what picture?
The toonie is with the silver with the gold.
Yeah, silver with the gold.
There's a beaver on the back of one of them, right?
No, she's
not a beaver, but it is an animal.
Hold on.
Moose?
A
wolverine.
It's the kind of animal, Professor Evans, that you would expect to dissolve in water.
A mollusk?
What?
Well, I guess
you'd expect to dissolve in water.
And I'm just... Well, you're pretty close. The answer is that it's a polar bear, and only polar molecules dissolve.
Two polar bears.
Is it two polar
mother
bears?
And cub.
Okay, all right, there you go. Doesn't give the name of the polar bear its blood type.
That may be the only
type,
place we'll be able to see them in a few decades.
So. I just spent my toonies on this.
I'm
pointing to the
pork buns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man.
Copper is used in most coins across the entire world. Please name at least two reasons copper found its way into coinage.
Cheap.
It's very cheap.
Its chemical properties, chemical and physical
it
properties.
It resists corrosion. Yeah, it does not oxidize easily, at least. Mm-hmm.
Which is why we put it on the Statue of Liberty.
Would you know what I meant if I told you it was ductile?
Yes.
That means?
Easily formed.
It's easily formed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. It can take on many colors based on what it's alloyed with.
Like green.
It technically, copper and silver are, but we don't really know that much about gold. It's antibacterial, which is very, very
interesting.
Oh,
that's very good.
That comes in handy.
And its electric conductivity and magnetic permeability are unsurpassable. So.
And we do need electrified coins.
Yeah, it's really important. Right.
MacGyver needs these.
So the bottom line is it goes back to what Jason was saying. It's, the vending machines can recognize them very easily through electrical charge. They can pass right by and they get it. Yep. Where is the headquarters of the U.S. Mint?
San Francisco, Denver.
Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yep. In addition to Philadelphia, Professor Chow, name at least one other city in which the U.S. Mint produces
Denver,
coins.
Denver, San Francisco.
That's it.
You're not Professor Chow.
And we're going to have to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. From the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
Gee, who is he today?
I just read a lovely article about Australia.
Professor Arthur Beer from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts was a regular on Ask the Professor from 1988 to 1999. Arthur still makes guest appearances on the show from time to time, and he always seems to come up with a different character voice when greeting the listeners at the start of the show.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
How do you do?
Now, Arthur wasn't the only Ask the Professor panelist known for his impersonations. You see, one day the late Professor George Pickering was a little tardy in getting to the studio, so somebody had to at least try to fill in for him.
On my right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin. Aren't you going to introduce George?
Oh, yes. I forgot about George.
How could you ever?
I don't know. George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here. As always.
As always, yeah. Okay. Thank you for filling in for George, yes. On Kathy's right, also from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And on Greg's right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, Edwin.
Hello, Arthur. And entering the room right now from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department.
He's already been introduced.
Professor George Pickering.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always. Did I miss something?
Not really.
Nothing at all.
No.
And we are back with some wonderful questions about coinage. Penny, for your thoughts, from Mark Neymark of Paris, France. We were answering, in addition to Philly, name at least one other city in which the U.S. Mint produces coins. Denver, San Francisco, and?
Atlanta.
It's not. It's West Point, New York.
Huh?
Is
really?
Where the final mint is. I don't know
what
if they have tours.
What kind of coins are minted
not?
In West Point, New York?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Secret coins.
Military
Absolutely.
Coins.
Yep.
They're just doing buttons and slugs.
Mm-hmm.
Metals. Yeah.
What is the relation between coins and a Bernoulli trial?
About $1.50?
A Bernoulli trial only has two outcomes.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be the same thing as flipping a coin.
Sign one and zero.
Mark signs off in the coin flip of life. May the professors always be winners. Thank you very much, Mark. Great question.
Yeah, thanks.
We learned something today. We love to learn how to learn.
I like how you sent us details also.
You know?
It helps.
He's really ahead of the pack.
Heads up about that.
Please warn us.
We have some wonderful questions from UDM student Megan Hatter. Yes. Does that ring any bells?
That's one of my students.
Excellent.
On the basketball team as well.
Excellent. Oh, what do you know? What is the mythical belief about the memory of a goldfish?
3 seconds?
That it lasts only 3 seconds.
What?
How on earth could you...
How do you time that? Yeah. I have no idea.
I love how you cut yourself off in 3 seconds.
You just throw the worm in, and if it forgets there's a hook on there, it'll come back after 3 seconds.
Toast.
What?
I don't understand how you could possibly tell how...
Why is it three?
I think we can actually measure brainwave activity. I think we can figure that.
You can ask.
You remember?
If it's like Dory in Finding Nemo, right?
Exactly.
Just keep swimming.
There you go. Where do cows have their sweat glands?
Their noses.
Their noses, yes.
Didn't we have this question very recently?
We did.
Did we?
I believe we did.
Really?
It's quite possible.
When we were over in the chemistry
building. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't remember that at all.
I wonder if all these...
We didn't get the goldfish.
We could have forgotten the goldfish. We just may have forgotten that we're goldfish.
3 seconds ago, we forgot it.
3 seconds ago.
All right, let's try this one. How many hearts does an octopus have?
Three.
Four.
Three, Professor Hocus.
That was another guess.
Is that why they throw him after three goals?
What is up with that? Right?
Because it's eight legs and it takes 8 games to win
back
the Stanley Cup.
It used to take 8. In the original 6. In the original 6 era, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There we go. Thank you, voice of God.
It was
symbolic
of winning the Stanley Cup.
Yes. Yes.
Gross.
Yeah.
There aren't many other NHL teams that even think about it. We do it a lot, but they don't.
There are other teams that throw other god-awful things, but we won't go there.
Yes. No. How much time does the average person spend kissing in their entire life? And let's do this in minutes. Now, Dan is a mathematician, so...
Hey, Dan.
I would say, how many days total in your life have you spent kissing, say... 2 days.
Can you give me minutes?
So 2,800 minutes.
It says here 20,000 minutes of kissing.
20,000?
It says 20,000 minutes. Wow.
That's not high enough, but it's better than 2,800.
That's a nice lusty number.
No, that's a good puckering number to get good grades in our classes. That's why.
It's not like all kisses last the same length of time.
That is also true. You know, I mean, a peck on the cheek of your grandmother, it's not adding up to 20,000 anytime soon.
No.
The majority of indoor dust... is made of
skin.
My cat.
Dead skin. Well, yeah, same thing, you know, basically.
He's leaving little bits of himself all over the house. I think it's an attempt at cloning.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Let's see. What country gave Florida to the United States in 1891?
Spain.
Yep. Absolutely.
They just gave it to us?
Well.
That was pretty cool.
Under a bit of pressure.
Maybe it's time to give it back.
Before we have another federal election,
that would be fine.
Oh my gosh! Apparently, one of your 5 fingernails on both hands—this is true—grows the fastest. Which of the 5 grows?
Your thumb,
middle finger.
Dan, you are correct.
Don't show him what
you are correct. That's fantastic.
Thank goodness this is radio, right?
Oh my gosh!
Just television, Dan would be pixelated right now.
Yep,
all of him.
Which piece always moves first in a game of chess?
White.
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 No.
Pawn.
Why couldn't it be a knight?
Actually, there's a rule against that in most professional play. You're not allowed to start with the knight. You have to start with the pawn. Oh. I'm pretty sure about that.
I don't know about that.
Are you sure? Apparently not.
I've never heard that.
I never heard that one either.
Okay.
We'll have to call Bob.
Cool.
Oh, he's dead.
No, I think I've started a game where I've moved my knight.
Okay, research. That's fine.
Hold on. Adam's over there in the control booth looking it up.
If it's going not at the pawn,
moving the knight, the first move is illegal.
It can be one or the other.
Yeah, it's got to be one or the other.
The two.
It's the only one that can move over
pieces.
They may have made a rule against it in professional play, but it's a legal move.
Okay.
So I.
All right.
Or is it just decorum?
There could be some sort of faux pas or something going on.
Could be a pawn or a knight.
Yep. Could be some unorthodox opening.
Okay. Send your chess questions too.
It could be unsociable.
Yes.
Dear profs, thanks again for great knowledge and hilarious banter as you knock down listeners' questions. Booyah. I added that part. Below is a list of 25 all across the board. By the way, it's amazing the knowledge one can gain hitting the random article button on Wikipedia. It seems as though the panelists have the most fun with scattered categories, so I've tried to do my best. Passing grade in Terabang? Feh. I trust whatever Professor Mayo gives out for a passing mark. Please thank Michael Jason for the kind updates. Thank you, Michael, for your kind updates.
And from whom are these questions?
These are from Rachel Ralston of Norwalk, Iowa.
Thank you, Rachel.
What's the only country that issues postage stamps that do not say the country of origin? What a great question. I'm not a philatelist, so I do not know.
I'm so glad you're not a philatelist.
Yes.
There's only like 200 countries we can get through them all just by guessing, right?
Zaire. Besides the U.S.
It's the mother country.
Britain?
It's Britain. It's the United Kingdom. Does not identify itself on its own stamps.
Really? Well, they just got the queen on all of them.
Well, maybe that's the way. What did the Kirsch Beverage Company invent in 1952? They called it NoCal.
Tab?
The first Diet Pop was what it was. Yep.
Was it Tab? It wasn't Tab.
No, NoCal is what they called it.
NoCal.
Pretty interesting. I'm sure it caught on with a name like that. NoCal.
In Northern California, it was very big.
It was huge. Yeah. It was huge.
You're very mad.
What is the fastest two-legged walking creature on Earth?
Ostrich.
An ostrich. You know how fast it can go, Chuck?
No, I couldn't tell you that.
Throw something out there.
35 miles an hour.
45 miles per hour. That's fast. Really? That's fast. That's Woodward. That's Woodward Avenue right there.
Wow.
Yep. Through some suburbs. What social club started out in New York as the Jolly Corks in 1867?
Lions Club?
I'm guessing it's an Irish thing, right?
No, I'm thinking Nine Mile of Woodward right now. It's the first thing that jumped out into my mind.
YMCA?
Oh, Nine Mile.
The Jolly Corks, 1867 in New York. Just about Elks. Nine and Word. The Elks, yeah. The Benevolent and Protective Order of the Elks. Okay. BPOE.
BPOE.
Benevolent and Protective. I always thought it was bipolar.
Benevolent and Destructive Order of the Elks. Yes, it does. It really does. What was the first music video played on VH1?
I know it was on Michael,
was it? Was it Michael?
It was not. And there's an addition here. Thank you, Rachel. And no, it's not Video Killed the Radio Star. That was MTV.
Yeah.
Wow, VH1.
Gosh, I don't know if I've ever watched VH1 in the last few years. I don't even know.
Well, how many years after MTV did VH1 start?
Well, it's actually, it's a classic, so it's not going to help you by orienting yourself to what year it started. Nope.
Deep Purple.
Like the Beatles? Or
MJ?
It wasn't Michael Jackson. Someone who recorded an album in a house in the subdivision that we currently sit in. If you guys know a lot about Motown trivia.
Wow. Marvin Gaye?
Marvin Gaye's Star Spangled Banner was the first video on VH1. Awesome. Great piece of trivia.
Where is that house? Can we find it?
You know, I don't know, but I'm afraid that it may not exist anymore. But they claim the original big demo for What's Going On was in someone's basement around here, like within a stone's throw of where we're sitting right now.
One of the best albums ever made,
as far as I'm concerned. Yep. What is the real first name of Major League pitcher Dizzy Dean?
Shucks. You should know this.
It's not Dizzy.
Harold?
He was not named Dizzy by his parents.
Not James.
James is close, but phonetically.
James is DZ? Close phonetically?
So if you've seen the Simpsons episode, it'll give it away, but Homer has no idea what the J in the middle of his name stands for. So he's about to find out by reading a document. He goes, "I will no longer be Homer J. Simpson. I'm now, he reads, his name is J-A-Y, J, Homer J. Simpson. His name was Jay. Jay Dean was his name, yeah. Hmm. So I probably could have pointed at Jason, but the story was more funny. Name 3 out of 4 announcers for the U.S. version of The Price is Right.
Bob Barker.
No,
the announcer.
Announcer.
Rod Roddy.
Come on down.
Don Fardo.
No, who's that one guy?
The original.
Olson.
The short guy with
Johnny
the glasses.
Johnny Olson. The best.
Black hair.
Is it there Mark Fields or something?
Rich Fields. Unbelievable.
I think it's really scary that you guys know that.
And the guy who just started a couple years ago.
With Drew Carey, I don't know.
No, it's
a freebie. I mean, you got all the rest.
Hold on. He used to be the host for Junkyard Wars.
Initials GG.
George Gray.
Hit them all. Most esoteric piece of trivia ever answered
really
in completion. Wow.
What does it say? What does it say that we get all the TV questions right and that people send us TV questions all the time? What does it say about television's impact?
Do you guys remember, what was that one show with the dowdy British woman who stood at the center and went around and insulted people? What was that one show?
Weakest Link.
And he was the American host of it.
Yes,
that's why I remember.
That's right.
Oh,
that's him?
Yep, that's him.
What famous Detroiter was born Marvin Schlossberg, recently passed away? When I say recently, I mean a few weeks ago. Very famous Detroiter.
What's the last name?
Schlossberg.
Died real recently?
Marvin Woodward?
No, died very recently, like over the holidays, I believe, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I grew up watching this man on TV.
He had a wonderful smile.
Soupy Sales.
He's died. Sonny Elliott was his name.
Yeah.
Sonny's a perfect name for a weather guy.
No, I'm glad you got a fast
one. S-O-N-N-Y. What was the first product that appeared on the cover of Time magazine, 1950? The first inanimate object.
A rocket?
Nope.
It's something house.
It was specifically a product.
Like a washing machine?
A can?
Mm-mm.
Refrigerator.
Coca-Cola.
Way to go, Beth.
There you go. Absolutely. 1950. I suppose I'll buy that.
They were the short bottles then.
Yeah, exactly.
They still make the baby ones.
I'm thankful.
They're hard to find.
It used to be, because I have one of the machines at home, I used to drive down Toledo to get them.
Unbelievable.
Cases of them in my car.
Wow.
The wheel wells would rub.
Well, they're now making the big plastic 2-liter bottles look like those.
That's right. In 1979, the Woolworths chain of stores folded. But the parent company kept its one profitable specialty store that exists to this day. What is it? That's a great question.
Like Woolrich Blankets?
No, Woolworth.
Nope.
What is the clue again?
The clue is that it's a Woolworth chain that folded. The parent company kept one profitable specialty chain that exists to this day.
Chain or store?
A chain of stores. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you. No, it's not Spencer's.
Walmart.
I can tell you that the people who work for this store have to wear a very specific uniform.
Foot Locker.
It's Foot Locker. That's exactly what
really?
It is.
Really?
Pretty interesting.
They're owned by Wolf.
Oh, my. We're going to have to wait to hit up the rest of these, but let's give the chance for the panel to say goodbye. Professor Oljar.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
Have an excellent week.
Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Great weekend.
Professor Evans.
Take care.
Professor Tubbs.
Sayonara.
Professor Chow.
Spring training can't get here soon enough.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.